Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So, hey, Danny. So, about a month or two ago, I came inside my girlfriend. Which shouldn't be a big deal. You saying this like it's crazy. And honestly, ever since that, I came in her about another three times. But what? Why are you telling me about the first one?
Let him have his victories.
Why you couldn't be like, man, I came in my bitch like four times last month. Why you had to tell me?
He's constructing a narrative,
why
Danny.
Why you breaking the nuts down?
It's the Danny Brown Show. Sit back, relax, you already know why you make studios. Yeah. It's the Danny Brown Show. We about to get live. Let's go. It's the Danny Brown Show. Sit back, relax, you already know why you make studios. Yeah. It's the Danny Brown Show. We about to get live. Let's go.
Yo, what's up, though? It's the motherfucking Danny Brown Show. Austin, Texas, we up in this bitch. YMA Studios. I got my dog Jamie with me. What's up, man?
You look so much cooler than me. It's giving me so many fucking complexes right now.
No, it's not. That's not true, man.
I would last 2 seconds wearing sunglasses inside before I was like, I'm going to get beat up. I can't fucking do this. And you're like, I had a...
No, these aren't... See, that's the thing. These are not... like some expensive ass glasses. These are $11 glasses.
That's even fucking
from
cooler.
From the gas station.
Yeah,
no,
that's even
I
fucking
them.
Cooler.
I seen them at the gas station.
You're rocking Bucky sunglasses, and
yeah,
it looks fucking
Bucky.
Awesome. I can't do that.
No, now that's my new thing. I don't feel like, because I used to buy expensive sunglasses and shit.
Yeah.
And you just lose those shits.
Yeah.
And you spend all that money. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm from Detroit, so I'm always going to have a pair of Cartiers. I actually have a pair of Cartiers now, a nice pair of vintage wide frames. But I don't have any lenses in them.
Yeah.
And I don't know them.
The only word in that sentence I knew was lenses.
No.
I don't even know that brand. Or I'm...
Cartier?
No, I don't fucking know.
Oh, no, but I'm saying...
I wear glasses because I can't see, and I left them in the car because I'm self-conscious of how I look in them. Buddy, you have to teach me how to be confident.
I guess I'm putting it out in the world. If anyone in Austin, Texas can put lenses into... I think I looked at a few spots, and I think I could find a spot. But no, they are very rare. It's like some old-ass vintage... They like the, I wanted the big school teacher.
Yeah.
School teacher glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I found the Carties that did those. And I got those, but when I found them, they were, they didn't have any lenses in them. And to myself, at me buying them at the time, like, oh, I'm going to get lenses. And I bought them. They've been sitting around. I had these glasses for like a year, and they ain't put lenses in them yet. So,
dude,
if it's any spot in Austin, Texas that hear this podcast and can put lenses into my rear.
There are things I bought that I thought it would just like project this image of, like, I remember when I was married and miserable and fucking depressed, but had money.
Isn't that the story of every man?
Yeah. When I was sad and questioning everything, I bought a Pac-Man machine. That was like the first thing I did with money.
Oh, I had a Street Fighter.
Yep. Well, a Street Fighter I feel like I would play. I don't even fucking play Pac-Man. But in my head, I was like, this is what like a cool, successful person in Brooklyn. They have a Pac-Man machine. And it just sat there as like a metaphor for my dying relationship.
No, the same thing. I didn't play the Street Fighter machine at all. And
No,
the worst thing about it is, when you go through the divorce and you gotta leave, who moves this big ass arcade machine?
Dude, I tried to sell it and no one wanted to buy it. So it was literally, I'm telling you, it was just a metaphor for a dead relationship.
I'm trying to tell y'all, these arcade machines are 5,000 pounds. Like the weight of these arcade machines, like even me, when I bought the Street Fighter, and this how you know your man's is retarded.
Yep.
I bought my Street Fighter cabinet from Amazon. The motherfuckers that delivered it They ain't got nothing to do with this shit. They just got picked up to the lift. They don't know what they throw them out, yeah. Nigga. They ain't give right. a fuck.
Listen, for the women listening to this podcast, if your man buys Street Fighter and or Pac-Man, he is not happy in the relationship.
No, it's not even that.
He's projecting.
It's not the actual game. Yeah. This is just, we're talking about the fucking cabinet.
Yes.
We bought cabinets.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, so Amazon's not paid to bring the cabinet into the house.
No.
These niggas just drop that bitch off in front of the crib.
Yeah, they don't care you're trying
a
to...
A big-ass Street Fighter arcade machine in front of my house. And I live in like a enclosed, you know, real suburban,
yeah,
gated community type of situation. So just to have a fucking... And then I couldn't move it the first day. And I live in Michigan at the time, you know, and a lot of wind. And so the second day, the box started blowing off the motherfucker. So I'm looking out the window... The people that live in the neighborhood could see what this actual product is, and they know that this is an actual big-ass arcade just on the curb of my house sitting there. So I had to get I got a dolly.
Yeah.
And then me and my friends, we just put it together. Not me. I paid a couple of my friends.
Yep.
And they picked it up and moved it in, and we got in the house. And, man, Street Fighter 2. You know, without the actual special characters, without, you know, Saget and Vega and all them, is my one of my favorite top games ever in the world.
Yeah.
So to have it was just like a, you know, like you
it
said,
it was nostalgia.
It was like a staple of like having money to be able to buy some shit.
Yep.
And I bought it, and I was like, oh, what would make this even more baller?
A divorce.
No.
Oh.
You got to buy a rug.
For
in front of it.
Yeah.
So I went and found the most rarest Supreme rug. Supreme rug, like thousands of dollars on a Supreme rug.
Oh, no.
Just to sit in front of the arcade machine.
Sure.
To look cool when people come.
Yeah.
So, but no one played. We never played it.
Never played it.
But now, since I went through, you know, my situation, I had to move the situation. And moving it. From that, what we're talking about.
I felt
moving
it from that. So fucking
I moved
stupid.
It to my studio, which it probably should have been in my studio from the beginning.
That's cool, yeah.
But now they play it too much.
Right.
You can't play this shit. Not the controls is broke.
Yeah.
We gotta bring somebody in. Cause every time I go over there and I play niggas, they beat me. I'm like, nah, this shit won't work.
No.
Right.
Is the carpet still there?
No, the Supreme rug is somewhere. Somebody got the Supreme rug. Part two. I got to figure out a situation, man. I got to go get my shit, man.
Yeah.
Because me moving to Austin, I just came here with my clothes and the PlayStation 5.
I'm getting the rest of my furniture tomorrow. I was living out of a suitcase.
No, I moved here with a PC. I FedExed my PC here, which if anybody don't know that, it's crazy. Like, how did you do that? I FedExed my PC with three monitors. They just threw them the way you can. They all were... had a little damage. Everything had a little damage. Like my PC, my PC has damage, but it works. So
yeah,
I'm not gonna be a bitch ass nigga and complain,
right?
And do all that shit. Shit was broke.
Sure.
Like even a little crack in the monitor. Like, all right, the shit still work. You know. So I've been thugging it out with the shit that I got.
Yeah, man. When I
so you live in Austin now?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
From
kind of all over. My comedy career, I was mainly New York.
But before, I'm saying just before.
I'm trying to do everything to avoid saying I came here from LA, so Texas people.
I know, because.
I'm just giving every place I used to live. I'm like, I grew up in New Jersey, because they get very mad when you tell them you're from LA. They're like, you better not fucking vote Democrat. And I'm like, take it easy.
What kind of white friends you got? We with the Proud Boys.
The real Texas friends.
Proud Boys. That's what that is.
Those are all the jujitsu. No, they're just people who like, they're afraid their taxes are gonna go up.
They may man, I would talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
Lana Glazer.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's my dog.
Yeah.
She made me jump into the Biden campaign.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you feel about Biden?
I when I was doing the actual campaign, I asked her, like, didn't he lock a lot of niggas up for selling weed?
Yeah.
Because you know that's what I went to jail for.
Yeah.
I went to jail for a year. Well, I was selling crack. I just got caught selling.
Those are very different.
I mean, I got caught selling weed.
Yeah. I smoked crack by accident once because this dude, I remember I grew up in like the suburbs in Jersey. And
you can't smoke crack by accident.
Well, so here's what happened. We were smoking weed and with this kid I didn't know. He like knew a member of my family. And I was like, hey man, I don't feel well. And he goes, there may be
some crack in there. Yeah.
And I was like,
that's weak though. That's like weak.
Well, because in my head, I was like, I didn't think you could maybe 51. Smoke crack.
Where I'm from, we call that 51.
Okay.
I don't know if that was actual term. Can I put that out there? I don't know if that's actual term for everybody, because everybody got their shit for when they talk about putting cracks in weed. And
I love the idea that the crack industrial complex like,
they call them
you.
Woolies. I think in the East Coast, they call them Woolies. But I never heard that term from anywhere. We call them, where I'm from, Detroit, we call them 51s.
Okay.
I don't know what that means. If someone could figure that out for me. But if anybody know, yeah, we call them 51s.
Yeah, I didn't know you could smoke a little crack.
Like a little crack. You can't smoke a little crack.
Yeah, I thought you were either.
You're going to smoke a little crack, then smoke all the crack after the fact.
That's kind of what I thought. I figured it was either you smoke no crack or you are now addicted
to
crack. Yeah,
what's the 51? Oh, 51, 50. I don't know. I don't think that is what that is. I think that's like some Detroit slang, the niggas that came up with on their own.
Yeah. What I was going to say with Biden, I think it's how a lot of people feel, where it's like, I like liberal ideas, but that doesn't mean that. I think if you are a politician on the left or right, you have to be a sociopath. If you want to get that much power, if you think I need to be the most powerful person in the world, you're probably not a good person, you know? And so I think you can be like disappointed with Biden without that meaning that you're no longer a Democrat or you're like a piece of shit or whatever. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about politics. I'm not even about to even front to you, like a lot of you or anybody that I'm like, I watch my shit, like I see shit and you know, it is what it is. But for me, as far as like politics and all that shit's the same. Like, yeah. I don't give a fuck what it is, like Democrat, Republican.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Whoever the fuck. All y'all niggas are the same to me. It's just like niggas against whatever the fuck.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think it's to the point where if you are an extremely political person, there's probably something wrong with you or you're projecting. And I honestly think it's just be a cool person to your friends. Do what you can in your community. Don't be a fucking asshole. Don't be like a racist shitbag. And then you're good. You're probably doing better than most politicians are.
But I will say, like, I think far as like with just in politics in general, like, they don't really understand what like niggas in the hood, like hood shit, like the shit is so like low, like they don't even get what's going on, like type of shit. Yeah. Like, it's like they thinking of like it's only to protect rich motherfuckers.
Yeah, well, they don't care. They don't want you to vote, and so they're not trying to pander to you. They're trying to pander to the fucking people who can give them a bunch of money, and those are usually corporations. And then that's why people are disillusioned with politics, and a fucking psycho like Trump can win, because people are just so sick of, you know, Clinton type.
But even
people.
That, like, they make people like Trump and all that, and they make people hate Trump so much. And but then like it's like Biden now, and it's like. Like, what's the difference? Like, a nigga in the hood.
I know.
Like, a nigga in the hood, like, they don't see a difference from none of that shit. Like, it's like, so I'm still like that kind of in some sense. Like, I'm not like that. But it's like, we don't see a difference in that type of shit. Like, so it's like, all y'all niggas is like this. I'm not all y'all.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, all them niggas is like the same to us. Yeah. Like, to me, like, I don't look at politics as like Democrat, Republican. I look at that shit as politics.
That's it. I mean, I'm literally to the point where I would rather.
And it has to be like a lot of people like me. I'm not. No, I can't be like the only nigga that think like.
Bro,
that.
I think the.
Like, I don't trust none of this shit.
I don't trust a Democrat.
I don't trust. Like, anybody that will associate themselves to that. Like, a motherfucker, like, if I would meet them, like, where they would bang that shit like a gang set.
Yeah.
Like, you meet a motherfucker, and they be like, nigga, I'm a Democrat.
Yeah.
Like, nigga, oh, shit! Like, I don't trust, like, it's my own, like, that's a gang.
That's man.
And the motherfucker be like, oh, I'm far right. Or tell you, like, you're like, oh!
Yep.
Like, if a motherfucker would, like, tell me some shit like that, and I don't think people do that.
No, but they do. You don't, that's all fucking Twitter is. Like, you have to. My thing that I've been just banging about is you have to have principles. And I think the majority of people, they don't have principles. They just know what team they're on. And whatever team they're on, Democrat or Republican, they'll just completely align with that. And I think that's where things get fucked up. I think the majority of people are like,
no, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
I think the majority of people are like you, and they're like, hey man, I feel this way on drug issue. I feel this way on fucking same sex marriage. I feel this way on guns. Maybe it's a little, maybe you get someone who's like, I don't care what gay people do, but like, I want to keep my gun. Maybe you get someone who, you know, is anti-war, but they, you know, are a little more conservative with taxes. Like the majority of people, they just want to take care of themselves, their family, their friends. And they look at the politicians. They go, you're full of shit. You're fucking full of shit. You're full of shit. And so they're just completely disillusioned. And I honestly think, I mean, I'm at the point now where put me on a fucking commune living in the woods, playing fucking guitar and growing my own food. That's all I want. At this point,
that's what I need.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm saying.
Like, we have to take care of ourselves.
At this point in my life, and how I think about religion or how I think about any ideology or what anybody thinks and that shit, it's like, it's none of it is perfect to me.
Right.
I always have a question or always have something that's like, no, that don't seem cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No matter what it is, no matter the religion or the set, crew, whatever, I always got something that I feel that I don't agree with. So, like a person like me, like what do I identify with when I don't have nothing to identify with?
Well, I think the problem is people in your position, they're afraid to speak up, when in reality, those are the people we need to hear from the most, the people who can question stuff and not just have blind allegiance to a certain party, right? So like Bruce Lee would always say when talking about martial arts, he would
Bruce Lee did coke too.
Did he? Did he accidentally do coke? Like I accidentally did crack?
We talk about it all the time. He was a super cokehead.
I mean, that makes sense when you watch him fucking fight. Yeah.
No, he was sending letters. Like they found some letters where Bruce Lee was sending. That was crazy though. When you think about it, this nigga was writing letters to his coke plug.
Jesus.
Like send me the shit. He didn't know if he was gonna get it. It might take a month.
This guy.
That was good coke. That was coke
when you
worth
have to telegram for coke.
That was coke worth waiting a month for. Cause when he got that shit, nigga, boom, that nigga was whoa. Why do you think Bruce hit that nose like?
Oh yeah. That's fucking accurate as shit.
That is coke. Good coke will make you do that. The best coke, I swear, the best coke I ever had in my life was in Mexico, obviously.
Yeah,
I was playing a show in Mexico City at the time where they had a rebellion?
Sure. Or like an uprising?
Uprising.
Yeah.
No, during my show, they had an uprising.
During your show?
I can't make this up. How can I? I didn't even know what it was called.
No, this is amazing.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
No, I'll tell you the crazy. No, what was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This was in the past. This isn't having nothing to do with now. But yeah, the promoter gave me some pussy in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, on some weird shit. I was like, bro, she was like, kept being weird though. She was like, bro, this is the worst part. They was like, whatever y'all need, we got you. Whatever you need. They kept telling us that. Like, me and my DJ, like, whatever you need, we got you. Obviously, they know we want coke. Like, we were fucking cokeheads at the time. So, we want coke, but we not trying to be like that. We're not trying to be like that. So, eventually, they kept asking us. So, we're like, yeah, get us some fucking coke. Like, what's coke? So, they got us the best coke. You get what I'm saying? But the fucking the promoter of the show, she kept being like, I asked her, like, I got to take a piss. Can you show me the bathroom at? So she showed me where the bathroom at. Instead of her showing me where the bathroom at and just let me go in the bathroom,
yeah,
she just immediately opens up the bathroom door and just goes in, put her panties down, and sit down and start taking a piss.
Danny, you got uprising pussy. That's fucking incredible.
No, this is before the uprising happened.
This is
the promoter of
the
show.
Uprising?
This is the promoter of the show. So she sits down and just take a piss in front of me.
Okay.
So I'm just looking like, we were like, words were like,
yeah,
this is not like we were never on a level to be doing. So
I've had girls do that, and it's weird that that's a move, Because it's kind of gross.
I just put my dick up.
Yeah.
She started sucking it from the toilet.
That's the move. There it is. So that's the move.
She started sucking my dick from the toilet. So then we started fucking around in the bathroom. Then somebody started knocking on the bathroom door.
Sure.
So then we had to come out. So that was that. So then they got us the Coke. This is the crazy part about the Coke story.
Yeah. This is all crazy so far, by the way.
No, because it's my DJ's birthday.
Yeah. Okay.
This is my DJ birthday, so I want to show him a good time.
Sure.
So I'm like, fuck, but we got this Coke. So we go in the bed. So we go in the hotel room. We do the Coke. It's so good. Like, every time we sniff it, we go, woo!
Yeah.
Like, it's so good. Like, it ain't even like, it ain't like the normal shit. So we go to strip club. And then we go to strip club, and it's one of those strip clubs where you got that back room. So
yeah.
You can take a bitch in the room.
Yeah.
So we like, oh, we so geek. Oh, yeah, take a bitch in the room. We go in there. We get money. We taking bitch in the back room. We put our card down. We taking bitch in the back room, but we did this Coke. This Coke so good, nobody did getting hurt.
Right.
I'm back there bitch licking my booty. I'm just doing anything I could possibly do to get my money worth at this point, because I know that my dick ain't getting hurt. So I'm like,
you're giving her tasks to do.
Yeah, so I'm doing all that type of shit. But when we come out, they done hit our card so much that our cards ain't even working no more. So now they got these big ass security guards looking at us like, where our money at?
And you're still coked out.
Coked out. Getting booty wet from getting licked. Like a booty moist.
You can't even run.
Limp dick. Booty moist, limp dick. But I got this one random card in my pocket. And I'm like, man, I think if I can go to an ATM machine.
Sure.
I could get some cash out of this. I feel like something in my heart is telling me. This one card I got.
Come on, Jesus. Okay.
Mike could fucking, you know, it could save us. So they like, all right. I'm like, man, I put it in here. It ain't working here, man. Maybe I'll go to somewhere else it'll work. And they like, all right, fuck it. They send two bodyguards with me. Me and two big-ass bodyguards walking with me to a 7-Eleven.
Jesus.
To go fucking get money. And who knows if this car about to work.
Right.
So my heart is beating so fast walking. Boom, boom. And my DJ with me, he with me. Granted, the car worked, obviously. The car worked.
When you were walking, were you trying to figure out what is my escape
Part
strategy?
Two, I'm a bitch-ass nigga.
Yep.
Because they some hoe-ass niggas, and they fucked up. Because they shouldn't even let that happen. As a real nigga, I supposed to run.
Right.
Once they gave me once I seen a good alley or somewhere.
That's what I was, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere I could have made an escape.
Are you like Jason Bourne-ing escape strategies and what can be used as a weapon?
No, I didn't. I was booked because I was in Mexico City. I'm just the whole Mexico situation.
Yeah.
Like, they're telling me, like, nigga, shit getting crazy. Like, but, and just like I told you, during my show, it was me and Damn Funk. That's who played that show. Mm. During my show, it was an uprising. So I'm literally playing a show and shit's going crazy outside. Like, so much, like, confetti and shit. Like,
they're
throwing shit inside the venue. Like, so, like, and when I play my show, it's probably about 12 people.
Jesus.
Like, who booked me for Mexico City?
Yeah. There's
no Danny Brown fans in Mexico City. Like, it was definitely somebody that was just cool and into that scene and just...
Dude, I have a question. I don't know if this is too nerdy, but everything we were talking about from the beginning for, like, the swagger and the sunglasses and shit like that.
Sunglasses?
No, but no. It's good. Like, I say this in a good way. Or when you were performing for fucking 12 people or whatever, did you always have that confidence even when shit sucked?
No, fuck no. No, I didn't have that confidence. Fuck no. But it's something in there clicked. That, no, you know what it was? I didn't have that confidence in the beginning because my music wasn't that good enough to have that confidence. Then once I realized my music was better than everybody, once I realized my shit was crazy,
yeah.
I didn't give a fuck what anybody thought about me that was on stage. Like, when I was on stage, I'm like, because I know for a fact,
yeah,
I'm shitting on anything. If you can tell me what your favorite shit you like, I bet you that nigga would be like, oh, I can't fuck with Danny.
Wow.
So it got to a point where I was like that. Like, I don't care. I know I'm the illest. Y'all can hate me.
And then you can do whatever the fuck you want.
I call
it,
you know what I call it? And for the comedy, I call it the Patrice O'Neal syndrome.
Yeah, man.
Where Patrice knew he was better than everybody. He didn't give a fuck.
Yep. I got to open for him a couple times and just watching how he never needed to brag. He never needed to name drop like I just did. He never needed to do any of that. He would just fucking sit there.
No, Patrice. That's what I look up to.
Yeah. And if he had something to say, he'd say it fucking
perfectly. I'm him. Like, I think I'm him of the rap game.
I love that.
Like, I really.
So do you not agree then? So for like. rappers or comics or whatever listening to this, do you not believe in the whole fake it till you make it? Were you just like, I'm gonna get so undeniably good?
No, it's not a fake it till you make it. I believe in rap music is it's almost like a, what they call it, like a talk it up kind of thing, like a where you like think it, believe it, you achieve it.
Like almost like the,
so like
the
when a rapper talk about like, I'm gonna get a Benz, I'm gonna rap about a Benz, and then one day he gonna get a Benz.
Mm.
So I think that's what it is with rap music.
That's dope. I mean, that's kind of like sports psychology.
It's like affirmations.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then you're doing it through song modes, and you have all these, and you have millions of people. Think about it. If you made a song rapping about, I want a Bentley one day. I'm going to get a Bentley. I don't want a Bentley. And then you don't have a Bentley, but then you got millions of people singing about how this one nigga going to get a Bentley.
Yeah, and you're driving around in a Honda.
He's going to get a Bentley.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the fucking energy put it to that. You know what I'm saying? I think that's what makes music different than comedy.
That's fucking cool.
It's like music is affirmation. In some sense.
Well, because comics too, there's something about
comics are meant to shit on shit.
Yeah. And so it's hard for I think a lot of comics to get that kind of confidence because you're sort of supposed to be this self-hating degenerate whatever. And that's why a lot of comics spiral or get depressed.
No, that's why a lot of comics get trash because they don't realize that and they try to be everything but that.
Yeah. But I think that comics could take from that. I think comics...
I mean, you don't have to be that and not have a healthy, successful life.
Yeah.
You know where we're living at now in this day and age. I mean, back in the day, if we were talking about court jesters,
right.
If I was a king and I was like, motherfucker, come up here, make me laugh.
Juggle clown.
Then yeah, of course, nigga, you don't have a long life. But now where we're living at, nigga, ain't no kings.
Right.
It's jesters running around with no fucking kings to fucking right. keep them in line. That's why I was a king, to keep jesters in line. Like now it's just jesters running around crazy. Why you think you get YouTube beefs?
Right.
And boxing fucking events and shit like that. All the jesters running around with no fucking king to fucking rattle them in and tell them what the fuck to do.
Sure. Yeah. They're rebelling.
As crazy as that sound, I'm telling you what it is.
Yeah. But I like that.
Oh, fuck. We didn't get none of this shit.
See?
I'm having so much fun with you. Can't even, so yeah, I get questions these motherfuckers ask.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm gonna chime in on, we got white people shit too.
All right, cool.
We know a lot about
this is great.
Shit.
So, I mean, I'm a self-hating white person, so it's gonna be a lot of like, I don't know, man, repent for your sins.
I love white people.
No, I know.
What are you talking about? Saved by the Bell?
Saved by the Bell was my Kelly
I'm saying white people made Saved by the Bell. Why can't you?
Did you ever see the fucking, no one knows this show. There was a musical spinoff of Saved by the Bell.
No, that's
called
bad.
California Dreams.
That was Beast Boys.
It was Don't Wake Me Up When I'm Dreaming. And it was, they tried to do Saved by the Bell, but they were all in a band.
Kelly Kapowski though.
Dude, I will never love anyone as much as
that. That was the thing, like that was my crush. Like,
yeah.
But I will always fuck Jesse Spanos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesse Spanos like niggas.
Yeah. Kelly, you want to marry, you'd fuck Jesse.
Kelly ain't never, but Kelly want the BBC. She ain't like Zach.
No.
Ask Danny.
Here we go.
Amsterdam. Wagwan. Wagwan, Danny. All right. Big fan from Amsterdam. Since you're somebody who likes to party and enjoys going to Europe, I'm assuming you've been to my city at least once. Question is, what is your favorite thing about Amsterdam? And what is your favorite story about what happened there? Much love, Chango. Oh, Amsterdam. Amsterdam is a great place, and I think I already told this story on this shit. And I told y'all niggas, man. I was just like everybody else. I wanted to experience the Amsterdam experience. Wanted to hang out. Went to the red light district. Was secretive as possible I can be, even though I was getting recognized all the time. Finally found the one bitch that I wanted to indulge in and go through her door. And once I went through there, she said, "No blacks! No blacks!" So that was my Amsterdam experience, man. So it taught me that I shouldn't be buying pussy from a door.
Yeah.
And people told me that was a lot of sex trafficking. But one of my homies that lived in Amsterdam, he told me that, you know, people try to make sex trafficking and shit about Amsterdam. Like, nah, man, a lot of these bitches, man, they be like, real life school teachers, like real life jobs in Europe and all that type of shit. Then they just come to fucking Amsterdam on a weekend, hop in the window, sell some pussy, go back to the crib. You get what I'm saying? These bitches be having real respectable jobs, be like real life regular people. They just do this shit on a blue moon. They could sneak out here, do this. Don't nobody know they doing this shit. And they come back, go to the crib. And I was like, you know what? That makes sense. So
yeah, no one talks about, there's always a middle ground, right? Because I'm friends with a bunch of porn stars and there are, there is sex trafficking. There are women who would rather be doing something else, but then there are just women who love to fuck and they like doing that.
But you know what they call sex trafficking? If I met a bitch on Twitter and I never met her, I never seen her before, and I said, all right, bitch, I'm going to fly you out here. Meet me in Miami. We going to fuck. Then they consider that to be sex trafficking.
Well, Danny, I didn't think I'd learn on the show that I'm a sex trafficker.
No, I'm telling you,
I've done that.
They literally consider, like, that bitch could be, we all done it, but that yeah. bitch could literally be like, that
that's
was,
my move. My move is sex trafficking.
I swear to God, that's how blurred the lines is
Jesus.
Of that shit. They can literally consider that sex trafficking. You flew the bitch out. You flew her out to have sex with you.
Well, now I'm going to make them pay for their own flight. And that's
ain't that's, but
that's
no.
on the law.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're trying to be good people.
No.
We're trying to be polite.
I think you just gave me some new game.
Right.
I can't fly you out, bitch. It's sex trafficking.
You like
you really want to fuck with the kid, fly yourself. But I ain't doing nothing like that no more.
I'm a
one-woman man.
What if you use frequent flyer miles? Is that like a lower level?
Frequent flyer
sex
miles, that is sex trafficking. That's what sex trafficking is. When you fly a bitch out on frequent flyer miles, that is sex trafficking, dog. That is what it is. You go to jail. You should go to jail, dog. As soon as you fly the bitch out on the miles, man, they should just come. They start doing an investigation on you for the indictment. Dog, yeah, if you flying bitch out on miles, it's sex trafficking.
All right, babe, I don't have points for Economy Plus, but...
I'm saying I've done it too, but I'm telling you, it's wrong.
It's wrong, yeah.
They put that bitch in the back. She be in the back. She can't put her bag up nowhere.
She's not allowed to check a bag.
She can't even get up. They let her... She got to sit on the toilet the whole flight. Like, oh, he bought miles. You don't get nowhere to put your bag. They don't even, bro, when they start bringing condiments out for the drinks, they don't ask the bitch for free miles. Like, oh, he flew you out with free miles? Oh, you don't get no
They coke. Just walk right by her.
You know? Yeah, they walk by her. No, they don't respect her. Oh, but that's how you know when a bitch really like you.
Yeah.
When she fly on the free miles and show up and still show she has enthusiasm and show that she love you. But I will say, if you flying a bitch out on free miles,
yeah,
that's sex trafficking. All right, next up we got Munchies. What up, Danny? What's your go-to munchie when you smoke weed? What? Do you think I'm 16 years old? You think I can eat smoke weed and be like, oh, I'm going to eat some Dunkaroos? How old are you? You smoke weed and get hungry? That's weird. I smoke weed just to live life. Like, I'm just normal. Like, I don't eat. I smoke, but I guess... Oh, if I want to be like on some new shit now, today, what would be a good munchie snack for me is a jalapeno and cheese bagel with cream cheese.
Yeah.
Then you put some salt and pepper on that bitch. Ooh.
Dude, I used to just eat.
That's like a full meal. I'm telling you, go to HEB. They got these hot, they bitches big too. That's HEB. They got these bagels. You know, they make them shit they sell. Jalapeno and cheese bagel. That bitch is thick. Cut that motherfucker open. All right.
I did gross shit when I was a kid and like a huge stoner. I would put a hot dog on a wrap and put cheese on it and then microwave it.
A wrap? What's a wrap?
Like a burrito thing. And then microwave it. And like the whole house would just like smell
disgusting.
So
hot dog, yeah, microwave hot dog is disgusting.
It's disgusting. And then that's why I was like
I could do that though. I could eat that.
The microwave hot dog,
yeah, I could
do that. On the burrito. I just made a hot dog burrito.
Doesn't sound bad. I'm just trying to think what you're about to do now that's gonna make it bad.
No, well, it was the melted cheese on it. That was the smell that would just fucking destroy the house.
So just burrito. Yeah,
but then I got to the point where, like, I am like that dude. The reason I can't smoke weed now is whenever I see you and you're like, yeah, I can smoke and like make an album, or Rogan's like, yeah, I get high and fucking lift kettlebells and go fight a man. I'm like, I am still that 16-year-old cliche where I just eat. The last time I smoked weed, I didn't even
You just didn't smoke enough. That's all it is.
Didn't smoke enough?
Yeah.
I thought it was the opposite. I thought it was I should smoke less.
No, you just didn't smoke enough.
So what happens? Because literally the last time I smoked weed, I was like, I'm going to write. I had my fucking guitar. I had a notebook. And
you just smoke enough. You're still at that like virgin stage of smoking weed where it's not like it's a point of life where weed is a like, you know, like Like, you could smoke weed and you get fucked up, and then you can smoke weed where you, it's just normal.
Yeah.
Like, it becomes you, like, or you becomes it. You get what I'm saying? Like, you smoke on weed and you still becoming it. Like, I smoke weed and I become me.
I'm the fucking opposite. Every cliche there is, anxiety, eating shitty. I had a loaf of bread by myself the last time.
No, I would be honest with you. It's still kind of all that. Like, it would be some times in my life where I might have been good.
Yeah.
But then I smoke and then I'm all some weird shit now. Yeah. Sure. So it is that. But I think it's, the thing is with me is like, it's just become a ritualistic kind of thing where it's be like, man, where I can be hanging out with. Me being in Texas and doing what I'm doing out here, and sometimes I don't even be smoking like that. I don't even be thinking about it. I'm like, damn, I ain't smoking no weed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, let me go smoke. And then I smoke, and then I feel worse.
Yeah.
Like, so I might be getting to the age of like, man, I might be
getting
off of weed.
I just cut everything out 2 months ago, and in the beginning, wasn't fun. Like, my first headlining show back, I was supposed to do an hour. In my head, I was about like 40 minutes in, and I looked at the clock, and I was 20 minutes in.
Because
I was talking so fucking fast, and then by the second or third show I felt like it was the best I've ever been, and I just, because it gets to the point where I'm like, I don't want to do shit unless it's going to make my life better. So you give me mushrooms once a year and I'll go find God, great, I'm in. If I'm just drinking to fucking fit in, like I'm a 16-year-old and I'm just bored in between shows, like that's the shit I want to stop doing. But it's fucking hard, man.
Yeah, no drinking I think is the hardest for me because it's a social thing.
It's so social,
like,
yeah.
Just if I hang out, like, just say me, like, going out to fucking Vulcan.
Yeah.
Hanging out. And I don't drink. I would just want to go home.
That was the show you saw me at was one of my first.
No, you killed that
sober
shit.
Shows. Thanks, man. You too. And that band was fucking tight.
No, the band was fire. They were fucking. You killed that shit.
Thanks, man. Thanks, dude. But yeah, but I was sober. And I was like, I was a little nervous before. And then it's like, you have to find something. I don't know why I can't just show up and perform art and that's my high. Where even when we like smoked cigarettes on the roof, I was like, I got to do something. If I'm not drinking, if I'm not doing drugs, at least let me like smoke a cigarette. And there's just this like artist urge to do something you're not supposed to do. And I don't know where the fuck that comes from. Probably a hole in my heart.
But even with that, like you say, like, you fuck with the martial arts.
Yeah.
Like doing, you do jujitsu.
Yeah.
And you say you fuck around with some Muay Thai shit.
Yeah. For like 20 years, yeah.
20 years doing Muay Thai?
Yeah.
Fuck. Like we just not getting started with that shit.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm dying holding pads right now.
It's hard.
I got a little, I mean, the last session I had holding pads wasn't that. Remember I was talking, the last shit I was talking, I was like, man, I hate holding pads. I kind of got a better understanding of it.
If you
just know what you're doing, kind of. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like,
you got to think about it as, if you're thinking about it as just...
It's conditioning.
Yeah. You have to, because a lot of people will start, like, flinching when they're holding pads. And it's like, okay, so if you're flinching while you're holding these, like, giant cushiony things, imagine what happens when you're sparring or when someone's attacking you. So you think of it as, don't think of it as, oh, I'm just waiting for my turn to hit
shit. I learned it. I really learned that. Like, cause I was like, I didn't sign up for this. Like, I don't get why I need to be doing this.
No,
But now I get why I had this, one teacher told me, man, anything I hate, that's what I should do the most.
Lean into that.
Yeah.
A little bit.
And I hate it. Like, anything that I hate, he'd be like, that's probably what you need to do the most.
Because you have to ask yourself why. Like, so I just started doing MMA more and putting it all together. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why have I been avoiding this? And it's because I'm really fucking good at jiu-jitsu if I'm doing jiu-jitsu. I'm really fucking good at striking if I'm striking. But I don't know a lot about MMA. So then I go, am I not doing it because I'm afraid someone who's, you know, some
good
fucking...
Good at wrestling
is just going to pop my bubble that I can beat up anybody I want? And the answer is yes. And then you go and you show up and you get better at it. And you're like, I was fucking scared. I was just being a bitch. That was it. I only wanted to do the thing I'm good at so I could just be like, look at me.
No, yeah.
Applaud. And it should be the fucking opposite. You should want to get good at the other things. No, that's not the reason I stopped drinking.
I want to stop drinking, but it's too fun.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's logical for me, man. Like, just where I'm at in my life.
Well, I started asking myself, and again, I'm in a different spot, so this isn't an everybody thing, but I was like, when I was on the road, this weekend doing shows, and I didn't really hang out with people afterwards, and part of me was like, man, if I was drinking, I like, you know, that girl who like DM'd me on Instagram, dude, I would have gone home with and all this stuff. And then I was like, wait a second. But I shouldn't have done that. I don't want to do that.
No, you're right.
So even though I had a more boring fucking night. Like, I did the show. And
no, you
I
did
went,
all the shit you supposed to do, though.
But I did all it. Yeah. And so that's where I was like, oh, am I just drinking
look,
to
you
excuse
see the look on my face?
I'm so sorry. This was not meant to be an intervention.
You see the look on my face? It was like, this is not what I just say what I signed up for, man. We'll put that up. This is what I would come here for. All right, all right, all right. Next up.
We'll go to other people's problems.
Yeah, man. All right. Favorite albums. Why fucking all right, man. Hey, Danny, at the end of episode 4, you mentioned there are a few albums that you listen to for your personal enjoyment. And that might be one with a spec. I'm curious to know what these might be. Love the Pod, DJ Boy Butter. If I can give y'all an album, there's probably not a lot of people talk about or give props. But I think changed me and changed a lot of shit that happened in music, and he doesn't get a lot of respect for. Shouts out to my nigga, Darwin D's. Look, you can't even do that. D-A-R-W-I-N-D-E-E-Z. There you go. Darwin D's, man. Shouts out to Darwin Z's. This the album. That was the first one. That first picture right there. That album right there, man. Yeah, it's a self-titled album. Yeah. So yeah, that album is I feel like I go back to that all the time. Like
I gotta check it out.
It was a solid, 11 song album of just straight amazing songwriting of a person you can tell is in his bedroom producing ill shit. Darwin D's needs to get a lot more respect. Yeah, so yeah, Darwin D's, man. So yeah, that's one of those. I don't feel like a lot of people talk about Darwin D's, man. It's the Constellations. Yeah, the song, man. Darwin D's, man.
Do you get more inspired by hip hop or like different genres to then like influence the hip hop shit?
No, I'll probably hip hop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I love like rap shit. Like when I hear like rap shit, like I know how to listen to different types of music and understand how to take the influence of that and try to and how to transfer it into rap music. But when I hear like just some ratchet ass rap music, this is like
yeah.
That no one like shouts out my boy out, man. Shouts out Certified Trapper, man. Certified Trapper. He already got 3 new songs out already.
Jeez.
Twerking. Shouts out. I love twerking. She tweaking. I'm linking. So shouts out Certified Trapper, man. That's my favorite rapper right now. Nigga name Certified Trapper, man. Come on. All right, next up. Girlfriend pregnant and cheating. All right.
Well, there we go.
Hey, Danny. So about a month or two ago, I came inside of my girlfriend. And honestly, ever since that, I've came in there about 3 times. All right.
All right. Hell yeah. I hope this email doesn't stop.
See, sometimes
stop.
I be thinking y'all niggas be writing these shits. But then when I get something like this, I'm like, nah, these niggas ain't writing this shit, man. For real. Sometimes I be like, man, this nigga Zolo wrote this one. But this one, Zolo...
He's like, right, she's pregnant. Wait. Right how babies are made.
This
I
one, I'm
came
like,
inside her.
I'm like, Zolo ain't write this shit. Hold up. But, all right. So, hey, Danny. So, about a month or two ago, I came inside my girlfriend. Which shouldn't be a big deal. You saying this like it's crazy. And honestly, ever since that, I came in her about another 3 times. But what? Why are you telling me about the first one?
Let him have his victories.
Why you couldn't be like, man, I came in my bitch like 4 times last month. Why you had to tell me?
He's constructing a narrative,
why
Danny.
Why you breaking the nuts down? You breaking the nuts down. What if, see, that 2 months ago, that one, you remember that one.
Yeah.
The other 3 times is whatever, but that one.
That one, that's the baby.
He right like, there. That was the baby.
That's my son.
But she found out she was cheating. And I think she's pregnant, but I don't know if it's mine. What I should do? What are you talking about, my nigga? This is like normal shit that you don't even have to be asking me about. I feel like you're just being weird. You just want to hear me just tell you a cuck. No, I'm sorry. She cheated. You ain't cook. But I mean, it is what it is, nigga. It ain't yours. Nigga, you Billie Jean. You get what I'm saying? For now on, say that bitch phone, her name in your phone is Billie Jean, man. She hit you up. He's not my lover. And that's all that is, man.
Does he still want to be with her? Does it say if he...
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
That's what it is. But no, yeah, you just got to do the DNA test. And if it's your baby... If the head that good, you just gotta be like, sometimes, you know, I don't know what we was going through at the time. You might just needed some other dick. I'm gonna get my shit back together, man. I'm gonna be stronger. If it's your baby, you gotta
step it up.
You just gotta make her forget that nigga, man. Or you just gotta just You gotta be a cuck in that situation. It depends on how she look too. If she like a bad bitch, head fire, you ain't about to get nothing better than this. You gonna have to just take the L on the cheating.
Right.
I ain't saying niggas do that. I'm not saying niggas do that. But I don't know what, if they got the baby together, shit, who don't want a bad baby mama, man?
Also, I feel like she'll get, like, can't she just get a test and then
cause you know what's
go
worse?
With whoever?
It's nothing worse than having a badass baby mama and a trash girlfriend.
Yeah.
It makes the girlfriend jealous. You can't even go see your kids right. She be tripping, like, hey, you going over there, that bitch? But then the other bitch got another man. You know, and then it's nothing worse than that, where she got another man and she don't even respect you no more. This nigga driving some ill shit, doing some, then you just a bum ass nigga coming to see your kids with an ugly ass bitch back at the crib. She like, nigga, look what you fucked up. This is your peak. You peaked with a bitch like me. That's all bitches want.
I also think the reason he was telling us about all of his nuts is he's trying to do the math to what are the odds that he's the father. He's like, okay, so I came in her four times, but she fucked two other guys. So by like odds, what are the odds that I'm the dad? He sounds like he's probably not ready to be a dad, is what I'm going to say. That's my advice is Godspeed. Go to church. I'm so sorry about your life, buddy.
No, man, it is what it is, man. That is that. Yeah, man. Marry a bitch before you get him pregnant. That's what God intended.
Dude, I might think.
All right. Next up, Detroiters. Hey, Danny. Which is dumb. Stop hitting me up, asking me about other niggas. You want to talk to Danny, man? Talk to Danny. Don't hit me up talking about other niggas. I already see what this is about. Hey, Danny, fan of the show. Curious ever seen any thoughts about the short-lived nigga, Detroiters. I was on Detroiters, motherfucker. You didn't see me? Nigga. That's how you retarded. I was I played the the weight loss clinic doctor. Have you not watched the show? You're going to hit me up and ask Danny Brown, have you saw Detroiters? Nigga, I was on a motherfucker. Look, Dr. Mayflower, man. Look, retarded as hell with a wig on.
Dear Danny, I came with my girlfriend six times. What are your thoughts on I think
so
you should leave?
So you say you're a huge fan of Tim Robinson. I think you should leave. I'm also wondering, as a Detroit native, have you ever rubbed shoulders with Tim? Nigga, I was Dr. Mayfield. What the fuck are you talking about? Do you rub shoulders with Tim? Do you know anything that's going on with Detroiters and anything? Because obviously you don't. You a poser. You just watched the fucking Tim show, and then you never watched no Detroiter shit. Nigga, Detroiters, bro. I was Dr. Mayfield, man. Y'all don't even know that shit was actually funny as fuck. Because back in the day, Detroit had this own little like what do you call those? Like you know, the local brought TV spot commercial.
Oh yeah,
like
yeah.
So they had medical weight loss, the shape of things to come. Like I was actually playing that doctor, the medical weight loss doctor. So like them niggas is funny as fuck to even come up with that.
If it makes your listener feel better, as someone who's not successful enough to be on a TV show, I enjoy the show very much.
Detroiters?
Yeah, it's great. Detroiters is great. No. I think you should leave. It's fucking great. They're both great.
No, the thing is about Detroiters that I want to tell everybody about Detroiters that it's so many inside jokes that y'all probably didn't get on outside if you weren't from Detroit. Like, and that's one thing that I would say that they did amazing. And I think that's probably one of the things that probably, you know, I mean, who knows why TV shows? Because I had my own show and it got canceled.
Yeah.
But who knows why shows
But I
canceled.
Love that they didn't give a fuck.
Sometimes they don't get canceled just on viewership and shit like that. They get canceled just because of the people working on them and shit like that. So we don't know why that show. So I'm not about to just say that. But at the end of the day, the people, they made that show for Detroit, man. Like, if you from Detroit, if you watch that shit, man, it's so many inside jokes that you can get that probably the outside world don't get. And it's just crazy.
I love the idea that they probably knew that would get them in trouble or make their audience smaller. And they said, I don't give a fuck. I want to make this show for Detroit. Mm-hmm. And they still did it.
No, they did it. That's so awesome. No, they did it. Yeah. I swear to God,
they did it.
That
fucking rules.
Like, Tim and Sam, man, like, they always show me love, man. Like, I always, you know, anytime I can be around them, man, I show them love too. So, man,
they're
fucking
great.
Up, man.
I think you should leave has turned into how I weed out girlfriends. Like, because it's such a weird fucking comedy show that I think is so funny that if they are like, I don't get it, I'm like, this isn't gonna work. Like, that's my new test is that sketch show.
No, mine is like that with the Whites of West Virginia.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
The Whites of West Virginia.
What the fuck is that?
It's a documentary. yeah, the Whites of West Virginia. Look, the wonderful Whites of West Virginia. Any bitch, I show these bitches this shit. They don't respect. It was shot. Johnny Knoxville shot this show.
Okay.
It's the actual. No, they got mad after the fact. They're like, Johnny ain't give us no money. Johnny, I saw a video. One of them was like, Johnny played us on the money. But yeah, the wild and wonderful whites of West Virginia.
Okay.
West Virginia fucked up. All because DuPont jumped all that toxic waste into the river. So now everybody retarded.
Right.
Everybody got bigger heads. If you meet a person from West Virginia, they head bigger than normal.
Sure.
But these motherfuckers, when you watch the whites, but they saying the whites is have everybody. Well, I can't. I'm gonna
watch it.
I ain't gonna slander white people like that.
No, I'm gonna go home and watch this.
The whites of West Virginia, man, they okay. The real niggas.
Right.
They the real niggas, man, of this shit. But yeah, I had all my dates. Like if I met a girl. And we'll come through, want to watch a movie. We watch The Whites of West Virginia.
Yeah.
Or Hateful Eight.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. And it's always white women.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. I think that make them like me more after the fact.
I don't think I've met one girl that's enjoyed I Think You Should Leave yet.
I show them
the hamburger sketch. That's my test.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, I can see that though.
That's a good one.
No, I like her. I want to make them emotional.
Right.
That just make them uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
Because women don't know how to deal with emotion sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, they don't know a difference between a sad emotion or a sex. Like, a bitch will be sad and fuck.
Sure.
You can sad a bitch out to some pussy. Like,
yeah, I don't think...
She is so sad.
I think a guy sad fucking...
Y'all know I'm not lying. You don't know how to judge emotions, man. Sure. They get emotional, they're like, ugh. All of it make them a little horny.
Yeah.
Because they just look at it like a romantic comedy. Like, man, they just look at it like something like The Rain.
Right.
Crying. If it's raining, I'm crying. Like, you start kissing them, like, oh, fuck. It's sexy. But Nick, I'm crying, bitch. It's over.
Yeah, I don't think a girl's going to want to fuck me if I'm just crying and talking about my dad and shit.
You always think about Purple Rain.
That's true.
When he was hitting the pickle jars with the stick. He was crying. And Apollonia held
her. That's true. That's true.
See? We just talking about that the other day, man. That's why we don't do pills no more.
Yeah?
Because of Prince.
Yeah?
Nigga, fentanyl. Bro, this nigga. Bro. All right, man. We going too far. What's happening? But no, man. Prince, man. That's one of like the craziest stories, like Prince and Mike, like both of them.
Yeah.
Like Prince, they saying he's had like crazy fucking back injuries and shit from doing the splits, wearing high heels and shit. So he got put on crazy pain medications and all that to the point where he eventually got caught with some fentanyl. Mike, he got the fucking hair burnt shit with the Pepsi commercial and shit. He got put on fucking shit. And before you know it, they like, this nigga, he found Demerol. That nigga loved the Demerol so much, he was getting plastic surgery just to get Demerol.
Jesus.
You know what I'm saying?
Did you ever see, I'm going to segue, I'm going to get us out of this. Did you ever see the fucking, the Prince guitar solo, the While My Guitar Gently Weeps from the Hall of Fame? I think it was from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Ohio.
Yeah, where he just... Fuck.
No, bodied everybody. What are you talking about?
Bodied everybody. And it was, I mean, that is one of my favorite musical clips of all time because it looks like he's playing to like prove a point or to like.
No, Prince, I identify him a lot. You know, the crazy shit about me and Prince is that Prince is like my mom's favorite artist.
Okay.
So it was a time in my life where I remember coming home from school every day and my mom was watching Purple Rain. Imagine watching Purple Rain every day, bitch jumping the river. Bitch, Apollonia jumping in the river. I watched that shit every day of my life.
Holy
I'm talking
shit.
About like elementary school, like from probably like kindergarten to grade three.
Jeez.
So yeah, Purple Rain fucked me up.
I'll do it.
But yeah, man, Prince, man, yeah, Prince is.
Do you think like, because there's part of me, does having a chip on your shoulder make you better, even though it is also probably like unhealthy?
No, because Rick James had a chip on his shoulder because of Prince,
right?
And he died smoking meth in a fucking Burbank, whatever, some outskirt of fucking, you know,
yeah.
And Prince died in his elevator,
Jesus.
But they all died of drugs,
right?
Just the thing, like, where they all tried to play Rick James as like this fucking crazy ass drug addict and this and that, and they all died the same way,
yeah.
Like, I look at them all three the same. Like, Rick James, Michael Jackson, Prince. Like, those three to me, like, that tame. And if they just would have just been cool.
I mean,
who knows?
Prince?
If they just would have been friends, man.
Right.
Yeah. For the sake of black people,
but
man.
Dude, I say this about fucking artists all the time. Like,
Michael Jackson wouldn't have been doing all that dumb ass shit, because then he would have, they'd be like, man, don't do your nose, man. Don't do it again. Like, they would have, bro, that is the actual dynamic of what a nigga should be. Prince, Michael Jackson, Rick James. You mix them shits up.
Yeah.
You got the superhero nigga.
Dude, if fucking artists could just support other artists and make their own shit and try to get better instead of feeling like all that competition. That's what I like about Austin. Austin so far seems like a bunch of artists trying to help other artists instead of having to bury other people. And it's like, yo, man, just make art. Be cool to your fucking people and make art. And yeah, that should be it.
I would say that. That held music back like crazy. Like, if Prince, Michael Jackson, and Rick James would be cool. And if you want to just throw a fourth in just to be cool, George Clinton. If all four of those motherfuckers would have just clicked up and just been friends and just help shit out, the whole world would be different right now.
Yeah, man.
Nah, I could say that. So, yeah. We get up out this motherfucker in a minute, man. Oh, no. Let's get into some white people shit.
Oh, yeah.
Just one.
White people shit.
Just one before we go.
This is my time to shine.
Yeah, right. Hey, Danny. Love the show and your music. In your opinion, are political bumper stickers / magnets on your car white people shit? I think they might qualify because as I pass with any sort of political shit on their car, they're almost always white. As a fellow white dude, I don't get the appeal of making your car into a political statement. Let me know if you think this is white people shit or not. Much love. Yeah, that's white people shit.
That's white people shit.
Yeah, because niggas gonna get pulled over. We the nigga had a Farrakhan bumper sticker on his shit. What you think gonna happen? Nigga can't identify what they identify with in real life in front of everybody. So yeah, that's white people shit. They can do that. But just bumper stickers in general is white people shit.
I think
so. Ain't nobody fucking up their car. Because you know when you take the sticker off and do all that shit, like, I mean, no.
If you're a black person, just straight up put like a Blue Lives Matter bumper sticker on just to buy you some more time.
No, I say put the baby on board. the real original triangle. Just throw the baby on board. Police fuck with you. Everybody, man, just put the baby on board and your shit, and then you ain't gotta got to pull it over.
Dude, people get fucking angry enough with road rage on the road that the idea of having like a fucking Biden Kamala bumper sticker or some shit is just gonna make more people angry.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, I wouldn't
do disgusting. That. Putting bumper stickers, that's disgusting. So, no, don't do that to your car. Unless you drive a minivan. If you drive a minivan, you can put a bumper sticker on there.
Yeah. Infowars.com. Don't do that.
You're going to get pulled over. Bumper sticker. So, yeah, baby on board. That's the only one you should have. But, yeah. So, yeah, we out of here, man. You got some shit you want to plug?
Yeah, I have a mental health comedy podcast that's brand new called Advice Not Taken. You can go to jamiekilsteinpodcast.com or just look up Advice Not Taken with Jamie Kilstein. I have a music project coming out called Light Scale, which should be out today. And follow me on social media because I do stand up all over the country. At Jamie Kilstein on Twitter, at the Jamie Kilstein on Instagram, which makes me much happier than Twitter.
Thank you so much for coming through, man.
Dude, you're the fucking best, man.
Thank you, man. No, we gonna do another one. No big deal.
Let's do it.
Shout out to Jamie coming through, man. Love y'all, motherfuckers. Like I say, y'all hit me up all the time at Danny@thedannybrownshow.com. That's Danny@thedannybrownshow.com. Yeah, we ain't getting to no freestyles again because y'all niggas ain't make. All right, we'll figure it out. 512-522-9256. 512-522-9256. That's where you send them motherfucking voicemails and do all that extra shit. But yeah, man, maybe we get some freestyles next week. Or maybe not. The drip sets disappear. Y'all niggas is fading. Y'all wasn't coming with it, man. Y'all fading, man. All right. I love y'all niggas, man. Shouts out Danny Brown, Jamie. Thank you for coming through.
Thanks, brother.